If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hendon Hooker. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier and the Trash Man. And we're coming off a weekend, we're coming off a back-together weekend on NFL Network, where we're starting to get our first looks at NFL training camps before we get on the road and start seeing some of these on our own. But boys, just a whole lot from the weekend. Cody, you said that probably what we should start out with is maybe going over some of the stuff, the injury news that came out from over the weekend or early this morning. One thing that I noticed that I didn't realize yesterday was that it looks like Juwan Jennings exited practice. And to me, that is certainly not the greatest thing to hear as far as the 49ers wide receiver core. They're saying it's the same issue that he had earlier in minicamp and OTAs that he might have re-aggravated. But you have Ricky Pearsall, who's on the mend, trying to get back out there. Brandon Ayuk, still not quite back just yet. And now we're seeing a possible issue with Juwan Jennings. So you know, that 49ers wide receiver stuff, we'll have to continue to monitor, as they're very thin there. But there were a few others that you wanted to talk about.
I mean, I was glad to see Ricky Pearsall get back on the field yesterday and at least move around in that weird-looking number one jersey. The one that I saw was this morning that came out that Dalton Kincaid isn't going to be practicing today. Today we're recording on Monday. And it's a knee, I think it was labeled as soreness, knee soreness. And I'm not sure if it's the same knee or not. I would assume it is. But he had a PCL injury last November, missed three games because of it. I just got done updating the standard and half sheet 1.1 on rosterwatch.com. And I get down, I pull up Twitter, and Sean McDermott's at a press conference telling us that Dalton Kincaid is not going to be practicing. I don't know what to do with that other than just to say, like, it's still early in camp. And he's not a guy that you're like expending any capital on at all. He's a last round tight end that I will probably continue to keep in there in some mix. But I guess as far as the sheet goes, it's like where I have him, Alex, and I don't know if this differs from the PPR sheet. It's basically sandwiched between underneath Tucker Kraft and Jonnu Smith, but ahead of Kyle Pitts and Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland, kind of in that area. I don't know if I should drop him to the bottom of that group of six.
No.
Or just keep him. I'm still getting him.
Yeah, and you're getting him in the 14th. You're getting him in the final round before kickers and defenses. Yeah. I have it built on the PPR sheet and on the Superflex sheet to where it's that exact same thing. You know, either 13th round Tucker Kraft or 14th round Dalton Kincaid is your sort of break glass in case of emergency tight ends. You know, if you miss out on some of the, you know, we're getting a little bit of some of these, you know, the David Njoku's of the world a little bit earlier. But I think that those two guys are perfectly reasonable. I think Hunter Henry is reasonable in there. I prefer Hunter Henry to, you know, Jonnu in that territory. But, that's almost exactly how I have it built right now. Of course, you can download the Ultimate Draft cheat sheets at rosterwatch.com with a pro membership. It's the best way to support us. Right now is our business season, and where we do all of our business for the whole year is people downloading these cheat sheets and getting their pro memberships to where we can help you throughout the course of the season, answering your fantasy football questions, helping you with your sit starts, helping you with your waiver decisions, your waiver budget allocations, all the rest of that, as well as getting you the player prop cheat sheet, getting every single week for your prize picks, pick'ems, your underdog pick'ems, your single game parlays on DraftKings, all the rest of that stuff, the DFS cheat sheets, the DFS hyper DFS generator, the lineup generator. So all that stuff, snap counts, touches, targets, matchup tool, everything you get with a pro membership at rosterwatch.com. So please go give it a look. The cheat sheet, though, is the flagship product. It's going to help you dominate your fantasy football draft. And as you can tell, Cody and I are working on them. Just I've already done probably 80 simulations just this morning. And a couple of interesting things that I've noticed, but we don't have to talk about those. We should be talking about camp reports. Look, one guy that I sort of – one thing, Trashman, that I kind of noticed. I'd be interested to hear what you think about this. Man, Calvin Ridley sure is getting a lot of buzz. And it's mainly been the connection with him and Cam Ward. And when I heard him yesterday talking about how Cam Ward just came in and he's saying we have to protect him. He's special. He's a guy who came in and just, you know, he changed the locker room. He's changed everything. I'm just like, golly. And these are the kinds of things that you've heard about Cam Ward through the process. We kind of got to see a little bit of it from him. You could tell just being around the guy through the process. He is definitely a total alpha. But you hear the people that talk to him in the meetings and in the interviews, everybody comes out of there extremely impressed. And in this draft, wherever, you know, you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, if you're the Titans, yes, you need a quarterback, but are you really, I mean, might you want to wait till next year and get like at this point, take a Travis Hunter, take an Abdul Carter, these kind of, you know, surefire lock players that you can build around. You're not going to be really expected to win this year. And they're like, no, dude, we've met this guy. Like, we want this guy. And I don't know. In the Superflex cheat sheet, I'm so happy to get him as a quarterback three. It feels like it could end up being like a 2023 deal when we're taking CJ Stroud in that area. Trash me. Do you have any thoughts about Calvin Ridley? And are you buying into it? I know it's Tennessee and it feels gross, but the players behind him truly aren't very good at all as far as Ridley's concerned.
Well, that's the thing. It's just like you look at what's behind him and it's, you wouldn't trade him for a bag of peanuts. I mean, it's Tyler Lockett, the next best receiver after Ridley. I mean, you have what, Van Jefferson opposite him. I mean, and these are, I mean, Van Jefferson, he's never been a high upside guy. Tyler Lockett, he's been a higher upside guy, but, you know, he's on the tail end of his career. And after that, you got a bunch of guys. I mean, Treylon Burks is out of the picture. Yeah, there's really not much after Ridley. So, yeah, I would expect Ward to target him early and often. And, you know, and actually it kind of lends credence to an argument for Chig Okonkwo as a reasonable tight end. I mean, tight ends are a rookie quarterback's best friend. So I feel like Okonkwo and Ridley are going to get a lot of targets this season. And, you know, Cam Ward, I like him. I mean, he's what I noticed at the draft, you know, is just how kind of unflappable he is. He's pretty even keeled. Doesn't get too worked about things, just goes out there and does work. And so, you know, I like the trio of Ward, Ridley, and Okonkwo in a season where, you know, yeah, a rookie quarterback, you know, make it easier for him. Two reliable targets that he can rely on for the majority of the season. I especially think we can get value with Okonkwo.
Well, I'm not sure about Chig. I am.
I mean, who behind Ridley?
Well, I mean, they did. I think Xavier Restrepo makes the team, and I think that he's gonna
okay.
Kind of underneath Jitterbug that just gets the volume. But well, what about, who knows? That's a pretty galaxy brain kind of thing to say an undrafted rookie is gonna be able to do it. But Chig hasn't been that good.
Well, he has. I mean, I'm just talking about what options Ward will have.
What about this backfield? I mean, the backfield is what has Tony Pollard had the last, you know, 41 receptions last year, 55 the year before with Dallas, but he's had three straight 1,000-yard seasons. And Tyjae Spears, we know they can use in space, and they did last year. Like, those should be, you know.
No, I think they'll both be good options.
Those roles should be expanded, I would say, into the receiving game. Yeah, the receiving core, though. I mean, Calvin Ridley is sitting, I think he's had three 1,000-yard seasons in his last four completed seasons, one in Atlanta, one in Jacksonville, one in Tennessee. And this is probably the most competent quarterback play, I would say, he'll have since Matt Ryan. Trevor Lawrence, that year he was down in Jacksonville, was a mess that year. And he should be the most zeroed in player. I think it's going to be tough to get behind the, you know, age 31, 32 receiver, but I like Calvin Ridley a lot. It's tough to get him. That's the problem. It's tough to get him in these drafts that we're walking through. It's like he's right around like the jail. I get Jalen Waddle more. I get George Pickens more. Get more Caleb Johnson. Get more, you know, a little bit more DeAndre Swift. Like, it's just tough to really get him in the drafts. I also like
The thing with Calvin Ridley is, like, he doesn't have the mileage that some of the receivers his age have.
Yeah.
Due to you know, at the time, unforeseen circumstances, you know, in his life. So I it doesn't bother me that he's in his early 30s. Alex, you're muted.
Yeah, sorry.
Now you're good.
Brees Hall's media availability today.
I just heard the second part of that.
Have you seen Brees Hall's media availability today?
No.
Okay. Now I'm off mute officially, correct? So so this is just Mr. Smart Guy here. They were asking him about a con. He's like, you know, some of the guys in your class getting these big contract extensions. You trying to get one before the season starts? And he's like, I don't plan on getting one before the season starts. We have a new coach and a new GM, and I'm not their guy. They didn't draft me. So I don't plan on, you know, them giving me an extension. I'm having to go out and prove it every single day. He's like, everybody keeps saying, you know, about me, it's about potential. Yeah, like, I'm ready to be the product. You know, I need to go out and prove it this year. I need to show them that I'm worth the money. Show this league I'm worth the money. But I don't anticipate getting a new contract extension, and I don't want to discuss it. I want to discuss the season, and discuss the ball that's ahead of me. So whenever I think about that, I certainly like to hear that as somebody that might be interested in drafting Brees Hall in fantasy football. With that said, man, if you talk about guys that have gotten a lot of buzz, dude, Cody's guy Braylon Allen sure has been getting a whole lot of buzz in Jets camp so far. It's like the big story has been Garrett Wilson and all the targets he's going to get from Justin Fields. But it feels like a secondary story almost every day. It's some big, long run that Braylon Allen's breaking off. I wonder just how do you guys – does that move the needle for you at all with Brees Hall as far as the Braylon Allen stuff and also the stuff about – him being motivated like this? I've never seen him being so deadly serious about, you know, just putting it out there that he really wants to go big this season.
Well, I mean, look at the situation that Brees Hall has found himself in, where he's not even really like conversed in like the best running back in the league conversation anymore. There was a point in time that when he was in college at Iowa State and Bijan was at Texas, that people were saying, you know, Brees Hall is the best running back in college football. And there was a war on Twitter between Brees Hall and Bijan Robinson to see who was the best running back in college football that year. And now it's kind of like Brees Hall's sort of like an afterthought because he's on the Jets and he just kind of hasn't really lived up to the exact expectations. I guess Jonathan Taylor, to a certain extent, has dealt with his stuff too in that conversation. But both of those guys feel like their values right now in drafts. Brees, I would say, when you think about the Braylon Allen side of that thing, it's like, I would just say they're going to run the ball 450 times, 500 times, and Brees Hall can't take all those carries. Like, that's going to be – there's going to be obviously a fair share of Justin Fields in that. Braylon Allen's 235 pounds and could take a workload. This has the making of what could be a really good, you know, three-headed monster in that backfield. I'm not worried about Hall. I think Hall's a value. My bigger problem is wrapping my head around the idea of ending up with a couple of rosters that might have Brees Hall and Garrett Wilson. On them. I've had a couple of
a, scary
a couple of two bangers, and I get through like four rounds, and I go, oh, I don't know if I like that. I kind of like it.
It reminds me last year of something that tanked a couple of my teams that I could just easily see happening this year. Whenever I just felt so good about having Tyreek and Devon Achane to start the season, and Achane was actually fine, right? He actually got through it, but just with the offensive dysfunction that can come whenever your starting quarterback gets hurt, and you go to at the absolute dregs of the quarterbacks, you go to the Skylar Thompsons of the world, all this stuff, right? I think that if And I'm not saying that's the situation with the Dolphins this year, because it feels like it's a little more reasonable with Ewers and Zach Wilson there. But with the Jets, we've already had an injury scare with Justin Fields. I've already gone down mentally saying like, oh no, now it's Tyrod. And once we get Tyrod in here, you know, he's too old and he's going to get hurt. And it's one of these things where just after him, you got nothing, you know, nothing. So, I worry a little bit about like being that overexposed to the Jets. For one, just betting on Justin Fields, but for two, saying, man, if he were to get hurt, who knows what the heck's going to happen here?
Hey, Jets all day in daily though. I mean, I feel like in terms that's the kind of wary optimism like to have for guys who could have a lot of upside, you know. And the thing with Breece Hall is too, like, he's thrived with bad quarterbacks back there. I mean, really, it's been about him staying healthy. So for me, it's not as worrisome a situation having both of those guys on my team.
Okay, so let's stay in New York and stay with another worrying situation here, because with the other New York team, the Giants, it's the same situation. You don't want to end up with a couple of these guys that are going to be frontline contributors for your team. But Malik Nabers is the only player on this team you're going to be drafting as a frontline contributor, hopefully, right? With that being said, Cam Scataboo is back. He's practicing now. He's been getting the social media clips with the runs that he's been making, some of the catches out of the backfield. I had talked to somebody with the Giants organization over the 4th of July break who had told me that they have a lot of plans for this guy on special teams. Personal protector on punt team, stuff like this. He's even like a backup punter, believe it or not. But I was like, man, I'm like, what's all this special team stuff he's talking about? Like, what's that going to mean? But he was also like, no, he's also going to be short yardage and stuff like that. And I just got to thinking, I'm like, well, this seems like Tyrone Tracy's kind of the RB1 here. And needless to say, all the plays that I've seen on X with Scataboo out there looking good have been from Jackson Dart. So he's working out with the second group. But are you guys there is now Cam Scataboo buzz. His ADP is going to come up a little bit. Tyrone Tracy's is going to fall. Do you think that those two should be diverging? Trash man.
I mean, I think the job's still his right now. I feel like until we see Scataboo.
It's Scataboo. I mean, it's spelled Scataboo, but the Norwegian pronunciation is Scataboo.
Until we see Scataboo playing with the ones, you know, consistently, I don't see the reason for moving him up considerably. I still think this is Tyrone Tracy's backfield until proven. Well,
is it Tyrone Tracy's backfield? Because it feels like him and Singletary are both playing with the ones.
I mean, Singletary has always been a presence, but we know when game day comes, I mean, it's going to be Tracy.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the same boat. I'm not buying the Scataboo stuff. I'm not trying to be a hater or anything. I don't see it. I don't get it with him. You got the report firsthand, and I think that kind of just spells exactly what kind of they see his role as. I don't think they see him as a true contributor outside of his ground and pound style that they can utilize in short yardage situations. Sure. Could that end up having him, you know, hit the end zone 6-7 times? Maybe in a world where the Giants are scoring touchdowns and potentially winning games. I just don't see that happening this year. So for those reasons, I think I'm just going to stay on the out of bounds with Cam Scataboo until I see him do it on the field and potentially try and take a job away from Devin Singletary, let alone Tyrone Tracy.
What about, okay, so one other big sort of, camp buzz guy has been Ted McMillan. How do you guys stack him up with, say, I think you're going to have him over George Pickens, right? But what about over Xavier Worthy?
I don't even know if I'm going to have him over Pickens.
Well, I think, well, can you talk about it?
I mean, we're just talking about better teams. It's just like, and I'm kind of, I've got to over, like I've talked about kind of ad nauseum, I'm kind of overdrafting guys who aren't on good offenses. And Tech McMillan isn't on a good offense. Bryce Young, I don't know. I guess he's improved from what he started at, but where he started wasn't very good. And I don't necessarily think that a Tech McMillan on a Carolina Panthers offense is a better fantasy contributor than George Pickens on a week in, week out basis.
Cody, do you?
I'll just say this on the cheat sheet right now, on the half and standard cheat sheet, Tech McMillan, who I generally would tell you if you just asked me right off the cuff, who's going to have a higher ADP in half and standard, I would probably tell you it's going to be Worthy and Pickens. But where I have McMillan right now on the standard and half sheet is four spots higher than Worthy and five spots higher than Pickens. And I still get I think I get Worthy and Pickens a touch more than I get Tet. And
weird, oh, because the ADP is
They're almost back to back to back. It's,
yeah, but I've noticed that too.
But Tet, I've noticed it too. And Tet in half is overall 64, Worthy 66, Pickens is 71. And like I'm how I have it, I almost feel perfect about it because I like Tet. I would love him in PPR because I just think that that's going to be a fun situation where you can get 140 targets. We've talked about this with the neighbors type role where you could see him just being like the guy there, especially when the second guy with the most buzz coming out of Carolina right now is Jimmy Horn Jr. Another
Jimmy rookie. Horn.
I love Jimmy Horn. Yeah.
Jimmy Crack Horn and I do care.